please, to the Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Early in 1998, the Lord began to impress upon my heart and mind that He wanted me to preach through the Old Testament book of Jonah for my monthly Manna Tape Club series. And in April of last year, I memorized the four short chapters that comprise the book of Jonah. And I began to meditate on it. And also, I began to read several books, commentaries on the book of Jonah. In June last year, I received a call to preach at Founders Days at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary in Memphis. And they assigned me this subject, the missionary heart of God. And immediately upon receiving that assignment, the Lord directed my attention to the book of Jonah. And it became unequivocally clear in my mind that the thing of the book of Jonah is the missionary heart of God. So I began to develop a sermon on that theme, and I preached it at Mid-America Seminary last August. I preached that sermon for you last month, developing the theme that God Himself is a missionary. He had set His affections upon the men in Nineveh and called a prophet to go and preach to them. Isn't that an exciting contemplation that God is a missionary? Well, having given you the overview of the book in that particular sermon, we have come tonight to commence with a verse-by-verse exposition of this book. I want to tell you what the headings are for the four chapters, just by way of introduction, so that you have the story of the book in mind for tonight's sermon. I have written down the headings on your outline tonight. In chapter 1, we are going to see that Jonah's concept of God is limited. In chapter 2, we're going to see that Jehovah's condemnation of Jonah is lethal. The whale swallows Jonah. He goes down to the bottom of the sea, and the seaweed is wrapped around his head. God's condemnation of him is lethal. Do you see that? Does that make sense to you? Now in chapter 3, the heading is going to be Jonah's compliance to God is legendary. And you know the legend, don't you? He receives the commission again to go and preach to the Ninevites. And when he goes there, the men of Nineveh believe God and repent in sackcloth and ashes, and the entire city experiences revival. Then in chapter 4, we're going to see that Jonah's consternation toward God is loathsome. When revival came, Jonah got mad. He didn't like it at all. He'd have been more pleased if they'd died and gone to hell, and was upset and told God so. And so when we come to that chapter, we're going to see that his consternation toward God was loathsome. Now, taking the time to give you those chapter headings just to kind of tell you the story again in capsule form. Tonight, we're going to commence with chapter 1 under the theme that Jonah's concept of God is limited. Now listen to me, church. It would be impossible for me to overstate the importance of having a proper concept of who God is and what God is like. And let me tell you, theologically, having an improper and distorted view of who God is can result in a sinner missing heaven and going to hell. Ultimately, what we believe about God is going to determine how we behave before God. And practically speaking, an improper and distorted view of who God is can cause even a prophet to rise up and go toward Nineveh, or pardon me, go toward Tarshish when God has told him to go to Nineveh. In my opinion, we have come to the brink of a new millennium as a non-theological church. Our focus for too long has been self-esteem and self-worth. And the church in our day has heard too many sermons on self-help items, how to improve relationships, how to manage our finances, health, wealth, and wisdom. And we have not been willing to make the sacrifice to expend the time and the energies and endure the rigors of laborious study and effort in order to know the deep things of God. And consequently, it is my opinion that many of us in our day, like Jonah, have a limited concept of who God is. Now that is the theme of chapter 1. Everything Jonah does in chapter 1 is based upon the fact that his concept of God is far too limited. He doesn't want God to have mercy on the Ninevites. He thinks God loves only Israel. That's a distorted view, a limited concept. His rebellion resulted from his wrong concept of who God was. Now, in chapter 1, under this theme, I'm going to preach 4 sermons. Well, let me restate that and say that I'm going to preach at least 4 sermons I could preach others, but let me tell you what the four sermons are going to be. In verses 1 and 2, we're going to see Jehovah's tremendous declaration of His mercy. That's verses 1 and 2, and that's going to be the sermon tonight. In verses 3, 4, and 5, I'm going to preach a sermon where we're going to see Jonah's thorough defiance of his master. And then, I really don't have any verses beside this heading. I'm just going to kind of go back and pick these things up from the first five verses. But I'm going to preach a sermon on this subject. Jonah's theological deficiencies are manifested. And at that time, I'm going to help you to see that Jonah had a deficient view of the sovereignty of God. And he had a deficient view of God's omnipresence. He rose up thinking that he could flee from the presence of God. Now, anybody who has a proper understanding of God's omnipresence knows he can't flee from God. Isn't that right? And then I'm going to talk to you about how his view of God's providence was deficient. And then in verses 6 through 17, we're going to see Jonah's terrible defense before the mariners. Now, don't cross me or I'll preach all four sermons tonight, see? Just want to keep you on your toes. Now, under this heading for verses 1 and 2, God's declaration of His mercy, I want to raise this question by way of introduction. Why did God appoint a prophet, give him a message of warning, and send him to declare that message to the Ninevites? Why did God do that? And I want to answer my own question. I learned years ago in preaching that you're better off, if you were going to ask questions, to be prepared to answer them yourself. And I have the answer to that question. Why God sent Jonah to preach to the Ninevites? He did so because God had mercy on the Ninevites. And I have been overjoyed. I have been overwhelmed at times in my meditations and in my studies of this subject as I have thought about God's mercy toward this sinner who is preaching to you tonight. Think about this. Even the warning was a declaration of God's mercy. If God hadn't had mercy toward the Ninevites, He wouldn't even have sent Jonah to warn them of impending judgment. Now that's what I want to discuss with you for a few minutes tonight. Now I can tell by looking at some of you that you're thinking that He spent all this time getting to the sermon and my stars, how long will this last? Well, the sermon is not going to be that long, but I do want to help you to see two things about the mercy of God. First, I want you to see a definition for mercy, and then I want you to see some details from this text about the mercy of God. Now, under the heading, the definition, I want you to see the proposition. What is the mercy of God? And I would begin by telling you that there are several different words in both the Hebrew language of the Old Testament Scriptures and the Greek language of the New Testament Scriptures that depict various aspects of the mercy of God, and it is difficult to use one word or phrase that adequately and consistently tells the complete story of what the mercy of God is. But in a nutshell, I'll use two words. The mercy of God is that characteristic in the heart of God that enables Him to show pity and to show compassion toward His creatures. Did you get that? Pity and compassion toward His creatures. Now, there is a presupposition that needs to be considered at this point. The reason God shows mercy, shows pity, or compassion toward creatures is because these creatures are wretched and they are wicked and they are sinful and they are doomed. And it is in the heart of our God to show pity and to show compassion toward depraved sinners who are helpless and who are hopeless. And I'm glad God is a merciful God, aren't you? God sees the Ninevites, sees them in their sin, sees their plight, and God has mercy, has pity and compassion toward them. Now I want us to move from that definition, and I want you to see three details about mercy. Now the first one is redundant. I've already stated it, but I want to just state it again. I want you to see the source of mercy. God is the Father of mercies. Do you know that the word Father means originator? The devil is referred to as the father of lies because lies originated with him. But God is called the Father of mercies because mercy had its origin in the heart of God. Now I want you to see the subjects of the mercy. God said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, because their wickedness is come up before me." Civilization had existed around the Tigris-Euphrates River, north of Babylon, for over 3,000 years. When God sent Jonah to preach to the Ninevites. And from their origin, they had been steeped in idolatry. They were polytheistic. They were pantheists. They believed in many gods, and they saw God in everything. They had great temples in which they had shrines to many different gods. They had rejected what knowledge they had of God from creation. And they had rejected what knowledge they had from God in their conscience. And they had willfully and woefully turned the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped the creature more than the Creator. And they had been doing so for 3,000 years before God sent Jonah to preach to them. Wicked above measure. But now I want you to see a third thing. Do you all see how quickly I'm moving through this sermon? Do you all see this is the last item under the last point already? I want to talk to you now about the sovereignty of the mercy. Now, here's the question for us. What if God had left the Ninevites to their own free will? We hear a lot in these days about man's volitional abilities, about man's free will. What if God had left these Ninevites to their own free will? For 3,000 years, civilization had existed in Asher, in Nineveh, and not one in 3,000 years had ever believed on the living God, had ever, with godly sorrow, repented and believed on God. Not one. There is none that seeketh after God. No, not one. That is the unequivocal declaration of Holy Scripture. What if God had left them to their own literature and language? What if God had left them to their own art and architecture? Oh, they had great art. They had great architecture, but they didn't know the architect of the universe. They had rejected Him who was able to make all things beautiful. What if God had left them to their own educational abilities? Do you know that they had a great royal library in Nineveh? Excavations have uncovered as many as 16,000 writing tablets. And many of the kings who reigned over the Assyrian Empire prided themselves in being the only kings in the universe who were literate and educated. What if God had left them to their own education, their literature, and their language? I want to tell you, beloved, anytime God Almighty takes an interest in a person or a people, and anytime God Almighty takes some initiative in sending a prophet like Jonah, mark it down, it is because God has had pity on them. And God is showing His compassion. He is being merciful toward them. Here's what the Bible says about the mercy of God. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom I will, I harden. That's the sovereignty of God in showing mercy. Now, I have a better question for us tonight. What if God had left you and me to our own free will? What if God had left us to our ability to educate ourselves toward God? Not one in this room tonight would be saved. Not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. But you know what? God has taken an interest in us. God has taken initiative toward us. And do you know the basis of it? He has had mercy upon us. Listen to this song. Hail, sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God that rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high, despised the riches of His grace, secure without a hiding place. Madly I ran the sinful race, too proud to seek a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice said with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Ere long, a heavenly voice I heard and mercy's angel form appeared. She led me on with gentle pace to Jesus as my hiding place. Though thundering storms of vengeance roll and smite this earth from pole to pole, no flaming bolt shall daunt my face with Jesus as my hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the song of grace and view my glorious hiding place. Oh, friend, listen to me now. You and I have been saved because of the mercy of God. When God gives revelation to men, it is owed to the fact that He is a merciful God. Listen to me. When God sent Jonah to preach to the Ninevites, it was not necessary. God would have been just and holy. He would have been righteous if He had left these Ninevites to face an eternity without God, to have faced the devil's hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. God was under no obligation to warn them. Are you here tonight without Christ as your Lord? I want to tell you, my friend, to hear a sermon is the mercy of God towards you. Was the sending of Jonah deserved by the Ninevites? Oh no, friend. If they had gotten what they deserved, they would have been overthrown and destroyed within 40 days. But God had mercy upon them. I never shall forget the days leading up to my own conversion and salvation of my soul. It seemed, Brother Ron, everywhere I went, every time I looked up, there God had placed a Jonah in my path. It seemed like every time I went to church that God was warning me in the sermon to flee from the wrath of God, that my soul was in imminent danger of destruction. And I look back on it with great thankfulness and gratitude to God that He showed mercy upon my soul. God could have given me what I deserved. It was not necessary God would have been consistent in harmonizing the various attributes of His nature and character if He had left me without revelation, if He had left me without warning, if He had left me to myself, if He had left me to my own affections, to my own desires. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top with many things below. I went unto the keeper and I settled long ago. Long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And my records clear today, for He washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. Sinner, seek the Lord. Repent of all your sins, for thus He has commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, still you will not regret it. You settled long ago. Long ago, I settled it all. Long ago, I settled it all. The old account was settled long ago. Let me ask you something tonight, folks. Have you settled with God? Have you recognized the merciful attempt of a gracious God to warn you to flee from the wrath of God and to turn to the Lord Jesus for the salvation of your soul? Yet 40 days, God said, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Who knows but that this night someone is listening to this sermon? Who knows but that the hundreds who will hear this sermon in the days ahead, that among them there are some who within 40 days shall be overthrown, shall be destroyed, shall go out into eternity's night unprepared to meet God. And today is the day of mercy. How important, how tremendously important it is to recognize the day of grace and the time of opportunity to seek the Lord while He may be found. It's the mercy of God. Now I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for prayer. I wonder tonight, is there one in the room whose heart is indicted with a sense of their personal guilt and condemnation, who has seen themselves the just and fit object of the holy wrath of God? And yet tonight, because God is merciful, He has brought us together, given us one other opportunity to hear the gospel, because God has pity and compassion towards you. I wonder if you'd turn to the Lord tonight. Is there one? Would you seek Him tonight? Children of God, would you join me now in intercession that men might be saved? Father, I pray that the Spirit of the living God, with an outstretched arm and mighty power, with loving kindness, would draw lost souls unto yourself. I pray, Father, that you would have mercy upon them, and that your Spirit would reveal your truth and the plight of their soul, and that they might turn and seek the Lord while there's time and opportunity. Father, I, along with these precious saints in this room tonight, lift our voices in saying, thank you for showing mercy unto us. In Jesus' name, amen.